Blog Talk Radio.
What do you want to do with this?
Blog Talk Radio.
I've never seen anybody.
Okay, y'all, let's get ready. Extraordinary time. Black Prince. Hey, play my music.
But it's cool to see.
Yeah.
I'm just being ordinary, but my ordinary is your extraordinary. So you think I'm being extraordinary?
I'm being extra,
but I'm just being ordinary. You think elders just extra? You think I do the most? You wanna know how I know? The Spirit told me so. How a preacher on the mic in the church flowing? Ain't got the nerve to have your ears and your neck glowing. He's just extra. Yeah, he need to stop. He need to get off that prayer line and get a job. He ain't hearing from God. He just being lazy. That stuff he's smoking on, it got him going crazy. But still I call and still I watch and still I listen in. Cause if he make it, I want a piece of them dividends. Y'all right on time, all y'all haters get y'all pad and pen. Write this down so you won't forget, I want you to remember this. That I'm just being ordinary, but my ordinary is your extraordinary. Think I'm being extraordinary?
Think I'm being extra? That's what they
think. But I'm just being ordinary. I ain't trying to be extra spiritual.
I'm trying.
Nah, or extra lyrical. You just don't hear me, yo.
You don't hear.
I just move with the spirit when I feel it.
When I feel it.
In Christ's name, I'm gonna kill it. He the realest. Nothing I do no more is about to show. Nothing I do no more is for the dough. And it's a free download, can't get it in the store. And even bootleggers gon' have it for the low. God with me,
say what?
So ain't no stopping me. You should've stayed down, not to the top of me. Trying to overthrow the boss, that's a conspiracy. Your plans ain't never worked, that's why y'all mad at me. I'm rather D.O.D. because he got my back. Where Elder is weak, he picking up the slack. He blessed me,
why?
So I correct the track. I bet you rewind it and play it back. I body boys on these beats and I ain't trying to. When the spirit moving, I could preach an hour or two. So might as well get comfortable, cause here we go. But before the sermon starts, I had to let you know. That I'm just being ordinary. But my ordinary is your extraordinary. So you think I'm being extraordinary?
Think I'm being extra? That's what they
think. But I'm just being ordinary. I ain't tryna be extra spiritual.
I'm trying.
Nah, or extra lyrical. You just don't hear me, yo.
You don't hear.
I just move with the spirit when I feel it.
When I feel it.
In Christ's name, I'ma kill it. He the realest.
Listen.
That I'm just being ordinary. But my ordinary is your extraordinary. So you think I'm being extraordinary?
Think I'm being extra? That's what they
but
think.
But I'm just being ordinary. I ain't trying to be extra spiritual.
I ain't trying.
Nah. Or extra lyrical. You just don't hear me, yo.
You don't hear.
I just move with the spirit when I feel it.
When I feel it.
In Christ's name, I'm gonna kill it. He the realest.
Listen.
Amen. This is Mr. Extraordinary. Elder Andre Prevost, the Black Prince of Preachers, is on the MIC. I want to thank everybody for calling, everybody for tuning in. Out there on Facebook, out there on YouTube, out there on Blog Talk Radio. I thank God for all of you today. Amen. If you're out there on YouTube, I do remind you, if you're on YouTube, this is pre-recorded. Amen. Pre-recorded, so do not call the number on the screen. If you are on YouTube, do look in the comments and you will see, amen, when our scheduled shows are, and then we welcome you to call in and be a live guest on our show. Call in, give your opinion. Amen. You ain't got to, we ain't, look, amen, we a talk show, amen. We interviewing regular people. I care less. Hey, man, what Paris Hilton got on, I care less. What Usher got going on, I care less. What Jay-Z got going on, they rich. I don't want to interview them. They ain't got my kind of problems. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you out there, you are welcome to call in. Praise God. Amen. We welcome to hear your comments. We welcome to hear your testimonies. Amen. Don't forget about our new show that debuted yesterday, Saturday at 2 o'clock. Get Out of My Business. We got a lot of listeners for that show. Praise God. I guess they saw the title. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's all about, amen, the whole thing is get out of my business if you ain't going to come to me about it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to break it down real quick because this ain't that show, but let me break it down real quick. If you got an issue with something I'm doing, praise God. If you got an issue with me, don't go as so-and-so. Don't go as brother so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Nothing, amen, about what I got going on. Praise God. If you got a question, come straight to me and ask me. Otherwise, get out of my business. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the whole premise. We welcome people that got issues with people. They say, well, the way you come over this show, I thought you supposed to be a preacher. I thought everything's supposed to be involved in ministry. It is. Praise God. The Bible says this, before you forgive somebody, see, we always telling you forgive, forgive, forgive. You need to go forgive. You need to go forgive. You need to go forgive. The Bible says it like this. If your brother sins against you 7 times a day, rebuke him. We skip the rebuke part. That means if I got an issue with you, I need to go let you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. They cut out a lot of ignorant hating. There's a lot of ignorant hating going on. What you mean ignorant hating? Ignorant means you don't know. A lot of people hating on people and mad at people, and they wrong. Praise God. Well, I thought the other day when you said this, you meant that. I wasn't even thinking about you. Preachers go through that a lot. We preach a sermon. Well, pastor, you was all up in my business. I wasn't even thinking about you. I don't even know you. Praise God, to be all up in your business. If anybody was in your business, the Holy Spirit was in your business. God was in your business. Jesus was in your business. I wasn't in your business. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We mean when you really want, well, Elder Prevost did this, I heard, and I'm mad at him because of this. Well, did you tell him? If you ain't told me, if it ain't about, get out of my business. So that's what it's about. If you got an issue, you need to call that number, put it on the app, and you need to tell people that's talking behind your back, get out your business. I don't mind. Whatever you got to ask me, I'll tell you. Praise God. And I'll be honest about it. I ain't got nothing to lie about. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the whole thing of the show. If you ask, a lot of times we scared to ask people. If you ask somebody, they're most likely they'll tell you the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But we don't ask nobody. We don't ask no questions. So we got ignorant hating going on. In other words, you hating and that person ain't even mad. Sometimes you mad at somebody for being mad at you. I ain't even mad at you. Elder Prevost mad at me. No, I ain't. Who told you that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I thought when you ain't called me back the other day, I was busy. I forgot. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People don't think. See, you got to think about stuff. When somebody tell you something and you hear their testimony and they testify about something about they done smoke weed most of their life. Praise God. For 20 years out of their life, they done smoke weed. Weed mess with your brain cells. It mess with your memory. Praise God. Sometimes I get up from my bedroom and I'm walking to the kitchen. Time I get to the kitchen, I done forgot what I done came to the kitchen for. Then I got to go all the way back to the bedroom, get back into whatever position I was in and go, oh, that's what I forgot. I need to go get this. And had to go get back up and come back to the kitchen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I forget to call people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I almost missed some money the other day because I forgot, amen, to call in about my money. Praise God. Hallelujah. They give you a certain time to call in. You don't call in about that time, you don't get it. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, almost that time. I forgot to call. Lord have mercy. Praise God. Now, if I'm forgetting to call about my money, and my money is very important, I might just forget to call you. I'm so sorry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I was talking to a young lady about that the other day, well, not the other day, like last year. Praise God. And she was saying, I got so much stuff to do within the day. I'm tired. I ain't got time to do this, that, and the other. Praise God. It was about going to church on Sunday. She was getting a whole lot of flack because on Sunday she ain't in church or she's either late. And she was telling me, she said, well, Elder, I got so much stuff to do Monday through Saturday. I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm not down to about 10, 11 at night. I'm tired. And she said, ain't Sunday supposed to be a day of rest anyway? Praise God. Hallelujah. I couldn't argue with that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because you can't get mad at somebody for being tired. And it ain't like in the Bible it say on Sunday go to church. It don't say that. Praise God. So I couldn't tell her, well, you need to go to church. Well, don't tell me to go to church on Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was tired. I sat at home and I observed the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. So I took my rest. I was tired. I'll be there next Sunday. I still love the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So I had to understand her point of view of what she was saying. Because all I was hearing was, she don't come. She don't come. That's all I'm hearing. And she had to tell me, look, I got stuff to do. I'm tired. Look at my schedule. If you had this schedule, would you come? Now, I'm thinking, I don't think I'd be right now, sister, if I had that kind of schedule. Praise God. I'd have to call in. Call in tired. Praise God. To church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's go ahead and get started today. Amen. We thank God for everybody called in today, everybody who has tuned in. This is Extraordinary. Praise God. And if you heard the intro song, the words of the intro song say, I'm just being ordinary, but my ordinary is your extraordinary. In other words, things that are extraordinary to you are regular to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. People come up talking about they living their best life. You just started that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's ordinary. Hallelujah. Amen. To go to the doctor and the doctor say something wrong and you all out the doctor just as happy as you want to be. Why are you happy? The doctor just said this. Man, I ain't worried about that doctor. God got the final say. That's ordinary. That's ordinary behavior for a believer in God. I'm not even going to say a Christian. Hallelujah, because any and everything is a Christian nowadays. Hallelujah, I'm going to say a believer of God, a child of God, a follower of God. How about some people? I'm going to make up a name. Everybody else making up a name. How about some people after God's own heart? Hallelujah, amen. And even David fell short. Hallelujah, but at least he was after God's heart. If some of us ain't after God's heart, I don't know what we after. Some of us after money, some of us after notoriety, some of us after fame. Hallelujah, amen, praise God. But some of us are after God's own heart, and those people that are after God's own heart are extraordinary people. David was an extraordinary person. David was a 14-year-old boy who killed a full-grown a 7 to 13 foot giant. That's extraordinary. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we believe the word of God is extraordinary. Hallelujah. Praise God. We believe that if we believe it, we gonna receive it. We believe, hallelujah, we shall be healed if we ask God to heal us. Praise God. That's extraordinary. People see in the world, people hear disease and they think death. Praise God. A believer hears disease and thinks testimony. I can't wait to tell this testimony. Wait till I tell somebody they said I had this. Hallelujah. They ain't going to believe it. They ain't going to believe it. They're what? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's extraordinary things right there. Hallelujah, not worrying about the light bill, not worrying about the gas bill, even though it's due, even though the notice is pink. I ain't worried about that, praise God. That's like people worry. We don't worry. If you're going to worry about it, don't even bother praying about it. But we believe if you pray about it, it's been fixed. So I ain't got no reason to worry about it. I got some other stuff I can do. Hallelujah. I can use that time more productively besides worrying about something that I basically have. That's what Jesus basically said. Don't worry about tomorrow. You ain't got no control over tomorrow. Just worry about what you can control right now. If you can't control the light bill, don't worry about it. You already made your phone calls. You already testified in church. Somebody, if there ain't nobody in church, get the hint. You know, a lot of times, I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to go to the first topic. A lot of times when we testify in church, we really dry big, and we trying to throw you a hint. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible say everybody, the Bible say we always use the scripture, but we always use it wrong. Hallelujah. This, you know, we bring things out on extraordinary. But when you hear your pastor tell you faith without works is dead, and he telling you you got to do some work in order to get something, faith without works is dead. That I'm not going to say that ain't true, but if he's talking about the scripture, you need to tell them they wrong. That ain't what their scripture's talking about. If you go back and read the book of James, James is the one that said faith is like works is dead. See, let me tell y'all what this is what, and a lot of good preachers have picked up on this and ran with it, not realizing that the fake preacher is the one that brought this out, because all he did was idolize. What am I looking for? The word I'm looking for. He singled out that verse, faith without works is dead. But that's not what that verse says. When you go back and read James, James is talking about, he's getting on them people that say, I'm going to pray for you. Like, you go to somebody and you know this person got money. Two of their husbands done died. You know. Praise God. You know they got some money in the bank. Praise God. Hallelujah. He just retired. Hallelujah. He been working that same job for 46 years. You know this brother got money in the bank. Hallelujah. Amen. And you go there, amen, and you say, well, my light bill due. I don't know how I'm going to pay it. And they, in turn, what they do, they say, I'm going to pray for you. And they pray for you. And then they send you about your way. And James said, what good is you to say, I'm going to pray for you, and you send them about their way and don't provide what they need? What good is it to tell them to have faith when you could do the work? And then he says, faith without works is dead. I'm not lying to you. If you don't believe me, go read it for yourself. Go look at some of y'all looking it up right now. That ain't what that say. Oh, my God, that is. It do say. Yeah, that's what it say. It ain't talking to the person that's in need. That's the issue with that scripture. We teach it as if it's talking to the person who need a job. Faith without works is dead. No, you can get me a job. Faith without works is dead. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got the hookup. You got the connection. You can make a phone call. You telling me you need to get out there. You need to hit the pavement. When I was your age, we had to go door to door. It's a different age. We got to go online. They don't even want to see you in person. They don't fill out an application. Go to Praise God. We gotta go through something to get a job today. I remember them days. I'm not that young. I remember when I could just walk up to the door and say, hey man, I need a job, and they look at you and go, Well, you look like a hard worker. Come on in here, we got you. Just fill this out. You're gonna be paid this, you get paid this. I remember them days you just walk in and talk to the manager, get the job. You can't do that no more. You gotta go online. But you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. So you telling me faith without works is dead, but God is telling you faith without works is dead. He asking you to do the work. Go read the scripture for yourself. I'm not lying to you. That's what Paul said. Paul even said that about what he said. He said, a workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approval. Paul said basically, don't take my word for it. He was talking to Timothy. Don't take my word for it, Timothy. Go study for yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So that's what that's saying when it's saying faith without works is dead, amen. And, you know, every week we try to expose the scripture. Remember they said they don't want nobody to have no money because money is evil. Money is evil. Money is evil. It's the, first of all, money ain't evil. You right, Elder, it ain't evil. Money is the root of all evil. No, no, money ain't the root of all evil. Wait a minute, Elder. Now, hold up. Now, it is written. I know what the words say. I know what the words say. Okay, go look at the scripture. Go look at it. The word, it said right here, it say the, oh, it says the love of money is the root to all evil. Exactly. Money ain't evil. Money is only what whoever hands it in. If it's in my hands, it might be evil. It might not. It depends on where my mind is at the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. That determines whether or not the money is evil. The money is neutral. It's all about what you do with it. I can go take $10,000 and pay for my kids to go to college, or I could take that same $10,000 and put a hit out on one of y'all talking noise behind my back. I could do that. You know, that's what make, praise God, that's what make it go evil. Praise God, money and the love of money. You know what I'm saying? I want to kill you because I want to collect your insurance policy, so I'm willing to spend $10,000 to get that $50. Amen. Praise God. That's like a 400% profit. Hallelujah. Amen. It all depends. Y'all must don't watch Oxygen. This kind of stuff goes on every day. Praise God. But we straighten out the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. But not just what you've been told. You know that when it's offering time, this is the last one I'm doing. I know. This is the last one I'm doing. And it's offering time. We say, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together and runneth over. Shall man give into your bosom. You go ahead and put something in that plate today and God going to have somebody else put something in your hand tomorrow. Pray, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I shut up, me see. Hallelujah. But when you go back and read the scripture, Jesus ain't talking about money. He talking about respect. He talking about judgment. He talking about mercy. He talking about grace. He say if you give mercy, you give grace, you give respect, you going to get it back in return. He wasn't talking about money, but we'll use it. We'll even use the excuse. You know these verses are, what we say, like, it's almost like they can go anywhere. It can mean anything. I know, look, I know what exactly Jesus was talking about this when he said it. I understand that. But it's universal. That's the word we use. The scriptures are universal. They apply to everything. That may be true. I'm not saying that ain't true. But I'm saying that's not what he was talking about when he said it. So don't get up and tell me give and it shall be given. It's the truth, but use the right scripture. Use the right scripture. Hallelujah. You bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Use you to rob me of my tithes and my offering. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Use the right ones. Hallelujah. Even when we say, Paul said, what'd he say? God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Before that verse, what happened was some people gave him some money. They gave him some stuff. And he was thanking them for the stuff they had donated to him. And he said, thank you so much because you gave me this. God is going to supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's an offering scripture. Praise God. Because you gave to the man of God, God is going to supply to you. Bless the wonderful name of the Lord. Okay. All right. I've been talking, and I'm going to do a little bit more talking. It's okay. We're going to get to the topics today. Hallelujah. Before we get to the topics, I ain't prayed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together in your name on today. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit be present on the line in a mighty way, Lord. Hallelujah. Let your revelation knowledge fall free. And we are in position to receive it on today. We cast away and we bind and we rebuke and we command the enemy not to enter on the line on today. Hallelujah. We command them to stay away on today, Lord. Hallelujah. And we do it under the authority of your Son in his name, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you in his name. Hallelujah. Amen.
and amen. Praise God on today. Praise God on today. Once again, welcome to Extraordinary. I am the Black Prince of Preachers ever, Andre Prevost. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to get into the first topic. Amen. Praise God. The first topic is, are you a hypocrite? Praise God. And it's a question that I have to answer. Besides that question, amen, somebody, amen, I've asked, some of y'all probably listeners, our listeners have spiked in the last few weeks, praise the Lord, amen, and some of y'all want to know the answer to the question. I've answered it a few times, but where did this name come from, the Black Prince? Why do you call yourself the Black Prince? Praise God, hallelujah, amen. I want to explain, I did not come up with the name the Black Prince. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's actually called the Black Prince of Preachers. Where did that name come from? Amen. It came from, you might want to say he was my spiritual father. He just died last year. Bishop Andre Alexis. He gave me that name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the only reason why I keep that name is to pay homage to him, because he passed away. Praise God, last year. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not lying. Some people might be, quit lying on dead people. Ain't nobody got time, hallelujah, to be lying. Praise God. And I got proof. Y'all know I got proof. Y'all know me. If anybody out there been listening to me or been close to me, y'all know me. Anything I say, I ain't going to say unless I got proof. Even though you might not, you still going to stick by what you say. I got proof. Check it out. This is my proof.
Well, I definitely want to say thank you, my dear friend. You know, I call you the Black Prince of Preachers, and I think it's a well befitting name for you. You know, you are a very articulate and demonstrative person when you preach this gospel, and you do it all from a point of royalty, because that's who you are. You are a part of a royal priesthood, and I recognize your priesthood.
Amen. That's actually the beginning of a song me and him did called We Are Winning. So that's where the name came from. It's called the Prince of Preachers was the guy, Martin Luther, who Martin Luther King is named after. His name was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was the guy that started the Lutheran Church. He was the guy that branched off from the Catholic Church. He got a hold to the Bible one day, read it himself, and said, what y'all teaching us ain't right. So I'm going to branch off and do my own thing. I don't know. And when he called me that, and then I find out who he was, I'm like, he done passed away now, so I can't really get in depth with him with it. I'm like, what you trying to say? I done branched off and did my own thing. Come on, but tell me something. Let me go find, I'm going to be like Saul and go find me a medium. Nah, I'm just playing with y'all. I'm playing. Praise God. Hallelujah. But let's get to the first topic today that somebody wanted their question answered. One of our loyal listeners. We got 2,000-some listeners, y'all. Praise God. So some of y'all wonder why I'm so keen about calling to the – a lot of y'all, I connect my line with y'all line, and I'm so keen about, you know, make sure that line don't get disconnected from this line, because I got 2,000 – you may have 20 people on your line listening, called in, that's fine. But I got like 2,000 on this side that I don't want to lose, that don't want to lose your attention. Praise God. That's why I'll be so keen about that. Amen. But let's get to the topic. The first topic is, what is a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? And part two of the first topic is, am I a hypocrite or are you a hypocrite and don't know it? Praise God. Is it possible to be a hypocrite and don't know it? We're not talking about religion. I wanted us to take our mind away from religion. Take our mind away from religion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every time somebody's being a hypocrite, it is not always got to do with religion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you a hypocrite is one who teaches and preaches one thing, but lives a different life than what they teach others to live. Praise God. Hallelujah. In other words, you say one thing, but you do another thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And a lot of people say, yeah, Elder, I know it's a lot of people in the church. Because I talk to a lot of people that don't really go to church that much. They believe in God. They consider themselves saved, although some of us might not. Praise God. But they believe in God, and they say, I don't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church. I say, it's a bunch of hypocrites out here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, what is a hypocrite? Because a lot of us, we quick to call someone else a hypocrite. And the fact of the matter is, when you really do the studies and you really examine yourself and you really look around and observe social behavior, and you observe people, everybody is a hypocrite in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Oh, not me, Elder. Elder, you can take me out of that group. You better put 99%, 95%, 99.9%. I'm not a hypocrite in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you ain't never told nobody, or you ain't never told your children. Most of us got kids, not to lie. And how many lies have you told after you done whipped them for lying? You hypocrite. You hypocrite. How dare you? How dare you? How dare I go home and whip my child for lying to their mom, or lying to me, or lying to the teacher when I'm lying to her mama? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. How dare you? You whipped your child. Think about it. Hallelujah. Think about it. You whipped that child. You beat that child. You was mad. Oh, you was mad. How dare you lie? I am your mother. I am your father. How dare you lie to me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But you lied. Lord, have mercy. Then we wonder why the Lord beat us so much for our lies, why we get that whooping so hard. Hallelujah. Because you reap what you sow. You've been sowing lies, and then you got the nerve to beat somebody else because they lied. And in the Our Father's prayer, we say, forgive them the way we forgive. Forgive us the way we forgive our debtors. So the way you forgave is the way you going to be forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. See, people never think about the little small things that we do in life that's hypocritical. Hallelujah. Amen. You teach. Okay, you'll get on somebody. Watch this. In the state of Texas, unless the law changed within the last 5 years or so, having less than an ounce of weed on you is considered the same as a traffic ticket, as speeding. Having an ounce of weed on you is the same as speeding. But you can preach to somebody, you're not supposed to have that weed because it's against the law. Because, you know, people that smoke weed, we used to use the excuse, I know I did, even when I was out there, I would say, the Bible say, I've given you all things, even the green herb. I'll be like, hey, that weed came from the ground. Ain't nobody put no chemicals in it. Ain't nobody mixed it up on the stove, you know, with the water and baking soda. I don't really know. I don't know the recipe. But I'm just saying, ain't nobody do all that to the weed. It just grew up like that. And, you know, somebody decided to roll it up and smoke it, and they got high. You can't, that's not wrong. Okay, Elder, you right. That's not wrong, but it's against the law. And the Bible say you got to follow the laws of the land. You know what? You got me. That's the law of the land. Last blunt. It's out the door. I'm done with it. Hey, we need to slow down, though. The speed limit say 45, and you going 60. I don't understand. How come it's okay for you to speed? Well, that's not the same. Why is not the same? Because what? It's a law of the land, ain't it? Praise God. The law say don't speed, but you're speeding. It's the same. Me and you will get the same ticket. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, ain't nobody going to jail. We getting the same ticket, so how come I can't use the same excuse? Well, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a ticket. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's against the law of the land. So that's hypocritical. Hallelujah. Praise God. To preach one thing and do another. That's why Jesus said, beware of the Pharisees. He said, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they preach. See, that's our problem. I'm getting ready to open the line because I want to hear people's opinion on this hypocrisy. Praise God. Amen. That's our problem right there. I don't want to listen to you because you're being hypocritical. Or you don't want to listen to me because I'm being hypocritical. But that ain't even the issue. Jesus said it ain't even about. See, Jesus always exited the other person out of the equation. It ain't about how you feel about me being a hypocrite. That's between me and God. But because I'm being a hypocrite, you just going to openly do what you do because I'm being hypocritical about what I do. He said, no, you still got to listen to him. And that's the hard part. I know. That is the hard. I still got to listen to Elder Prevost, even though he out there speeding on the freeway, even though he out there doing this and doing that, and then he told me not to do it. I still got to listen to him. Yes, you do. I didn't say it. Praise God. God said it. Jesus said it. Hallelujah. Amen. It go both ways. I got to still listen to you, no matter how big of a hypocrite you is. Oh, we was on Minister Ray Liner yesterday. He brought up Brian Carr. To me, he's one of the biggest hypocrites in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. But I didn't know he was a hypocrite at first. I was watching him on TBN, and he gave a word. The word was butter. I don't know if y'all understand what that means. It was good. It was nice. It was lovely. It was a good word. Then he started asking for money. And I'm like, this hypocrite want money. I can't believe this. Hallelujah. But he gave a good word. The word was on point. So I got to still listen to that word. But I ain't got to give him my money. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So a hypocrite is somebody who say, I'm gonna do one thing. Hallelujah. Or not even to say. It's not even to say I'm going to do one thing and do another. It's to tell you to do one thing when I'm doing the opposite of what I'm telling you to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes I'm a hypocrite with my wife. Because I got this thing about don't cut me off. I'm talking. Like, not like that. Some of y'all was like, oh, my God. No, not like that. I mean, like, I was talking and you cut me off. Like, now I don't want to talk no more. That kind of thing. Not like, oh, my God, you cut me off and now we finna throw you out the window. No, not like that. Y'all be over-exaggerating. But I'll be a hypocrite because she'll say something and I'll cut us move off. For the same reason she cut me off the last time. You was wrong about what you were saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then sometimes, you know, you got to be like, yeah, you right. Yep. And you got to just hold that back because you realize you in the wrong. You being a hypocrite right now. Hallelujah. Telling your kids not to lie. Remember all them times your mama was a hypocrite? You know what I'm talking about when she tell you not to lie. But then when the phone rings, she tell you to tell. You answer the phone and tell whoever on the phone I'm not here. But you want me to lie for you? Ain't that one of the Ten Commandments, Mama? Don't it say not to bear false witness? And that's literally, it don't say don't lie. We be lying on the word. The word do not say thou shalt not lie. It says thou shalt not bear false witness. It's the same thing. But what you're doing is saying, you're bearing witness to something that didn't happen. So you want me to bear false witness for you, Mama. It's not that big of a deal because we just doing it in the house and on the phone. But if we was going to court, that's called perjury. You can go to jail for that. Praise God. So when you go to court, you got to decide if you going to lie for your mama. Was your mama home? If your if you lie and we find out your mama was home, you going to jail for 5 years with her. That's called accessory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then when we mess around and do something like that, I don't know where he learned that from. Where did he get that kind of behavior? Who taught you how to do that? You. You did. No, I didn't teach you to lie and say you yes, you did when you said you was in the room and you told me to tell the dude on the phone that you wasn't home and but you had the other dude. Oh, Lord. Now I'm in trouble because of you. And you don't want to accept the fact that you raised me this way. I'm not talking about me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm speaking for somebody out there. Amen. That you don't want to accept the fact you raised me like this or you raised your kid like that. Could it be? That's why the question is, am I a hypocrite? And I don't even know I'm a hypocrite. Hallelujah. I know, like I said before, I don't whip my child for lying and be lying. How you going to lie to your mama? How you going to lie to my mama? Oh, yeah. That's right. I sure did lie to your mama. But that's not the same. I'm grown. You a child. No. I'm a child, but you a hypocrite. That's what it is. Praise God. Well, the phone line is open. Praise God. I want to hear comments on the hypocrisy. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know people that have been hypocritical? Have you been hypocritical? Praise God. Hallelujah. The phone lines are open. Any comments today? Take your time. Take your time.
Well, I guess I'll be the first one.
Go ahead, sister.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'll be the first one to jump into this. Yes, we know quite a few hypocrites in the church and out of the church. And one is when you get with one friend, you side with that friend, and you're against this, you're against that, and talk down to this and talk about this one, crucify that one, lie on that one. And then when you get on the other side, and then all of a sudden you forgot about all of that you stood for over there yesterday, today it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a whole different thing. That's a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe something, you need to believe it across the board. You're not going to get John Boy and agree with John Boy and pushing and edging John Boy on and letting John Boy agree to something that may be wrong. But then when you leave John Boy, then you go in and do just the opposite. That's a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
And a liar.
That's what I'm calling.
And it can be very dangerous. It's because you are causing someone else to go astray. You leading somebody else astray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, she said it.
That's what I'm calling them, a liar
and a sinner, just like every other sinner. And now, like I always do, I always like to look at my life, apply to my life, and I know I'm not perfect. I know it's things that I need deliverance from, and I'm striving towards that. You understand what I'm saying? Not trying to be basically what I call a sinner, because to me, like the sister really just said in the end there, they get up there saying, oh, follow me, I'm doing right, and then they know and they doing the dirt, you know, under the table. You just a liar and a sinner to me. And if you're a preacher doing that, you're a false prophet. You know, that's the way I feel about them. And in some cases, they just might need deliverance. They might not know they're doing wrong. You know, like I found things, even through this, since we've been doing this, I found things that's been pointed out, whether y'all know it or not. And I said, wow, hey, that guy said don't do this. And I was doing that. Whoa, that's a big malfunction there. So that's things that's helped me. But I look at it as sin, and especially if it's a minister doing something and he's saying, don't do this, and want to crucify or somebody else for doing the same sin that he's doing, maybe it's a hypocrite. I think it's a lie and a sin, and I don't think they should be on the pulpit. Definitely need deliverance.
Right. We were on the line maybe 5 years ago, and a lady, her name was Mother Jane. She was married by this time and had kids and all that. But she was telling a story about she was dating a pastor. And her and the pastor just slept together Saturday night. And Sunday morning, she go to church to support her man. And he up there preaching about how sex before marriage is a sin. And she said that turned her off. Because we just got through laying up last night, and here you is preaching that sex before marriage is a sin. Well, was it a sin last night? Are we going to hell together? And she used to always say, I don't need no help going to hell. I can go to hell all by myself. Praise God. But, yeah, that's a hypocrite right there. You doing something. And a lot of people have beliefs. I've met people that believe in spiritual marriage. They don't believe in paper marriage. They say it wasn't no paper until it was divorced.
Right,
that's
little. Yes, that's little.
They say it wasn't no paper until it was a divorce. Moses gave you a decree of the divorce, but they don't know. Like, you know, everybody got their little things that they believe. But if you believe it, but you don't want to preach it, that's one thing. But if you believe it and you preach the opposite because you know that's what the masses want to hear, that's something totally different. In other words, leave it. If that's something you believe and you know the masses don't believe it, if you try to teach it, they don't believe it, leave it alone. That's how I feel about it. Like, what's his name? Pearson, Carlton Pearson. He felt like the Lord gave him a revelation. He tried to share it. They didn't want to take it. He tried to force it on them and lost everything he had because he tried to force it on them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I'm not saying that he wrong or right. Some people might say he wrong. Some people might say he right. That's not for me to decide. I don't know what God told that man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we also believe that's another side of hypocrisy, because we also believe in revelation. We believe in revelation from God. Peter received revelation from God. He Jesus said, "Who do y'all think I am?" They said, "Elijah, Moses, all the prophets, and all these other names." And he said, "Well, who y'all think I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." And Jesus said, "Nobody has told you this except the Father." In other words, you didn't learn this from reading the book. Praise God. You didn't learn this from somebody teaching it to you. I didn't tell it to you. So the only way you could have learned this is from God. That's divine revelation. We don't believe in that no more. We don't think people get divine revelation no more, but we preach about divine revelation. But if I come to you with a divine revelation, I'm a false prophet and all this other stuff and da-da-da-da. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just because you don't believe it, that's because you don't. I don't know what you want to call it. That don't mean it ain't true. They didn't believe Jesus. That's what I tell a lot of people. A lot of people say, "I got this revelation, Elder. I tried to give it. Nobody wants to listen to it. Nobody believes it." They didn't believe Jesus. Name one person in the Bible that they believed. Praise God. Joseph said, I had a dream, y'all. In this dream, y'all cows bowed to my cows. What you trying to say? Eventually, we gonna have to bow down to you. Even his daddy was his dad, and he was his favorite, the dad's favorite. But even his daddy was like, "I don't know about that, son." Praise God, hallelujah. Jesus came; they didn't believe he was him. Saul got reborn; they didn't believe it. It took a while. When you really read it and do your research, it took a while for Peter and them to really just welcome Paul in. Paul was on their hit list for a minute. Avoid Paul. We might have to fight Paul. Praise God. You know Peter. Peter kept that sword. He was ready. We might have to fight Paul when we see him. It took a while for them to believe. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't expect them to believe you. I don't care if God came and sat in your living room. and y'all had a whole conversation, and you got it on tape. Hallelujah. Amen. That's some kind of special effects, Elder. You know you good with that computer. I don't know how you did that. It looked just like it could be a angel or something too. You can see through it and everything. That's good. That's good. You need to go into Hollywood with that kind of special effects. No, that's actually a tape. Never mind. Never mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Any more comments on hypocrisy? Any more comments? Bless God. Any more comments? I want to make sure. I know some people be trying to take their phone off of mute, and by the time they get it off of mute, I'll be on the next subject. Amen. Any more comments? Hypocrisy. Amen, amen, praise God. Let's get to our next subject. Amen, our next topic on today is, hallelujah, this is a topic, amen, is everyone picking on me or am I picking a fight with everyone? Praise God, hallelujah. Amen, this topic came up, amen, because it was a recent observation, but throughout my life I've noticed certain things. Say I meet somebody, I start a conversation with them, and they'll tell me how people hate. Like, say I go to a job, and they tell me, oh, this person over here, they a hater over there. Watch out for them. They be hating, they be lying, and they be trying to get you fired. And watch out for this boss. They mean, and they doing this, and they do that. And then you interact with the person they talking about, and you don't see what they talking about. You don't see what they talking about at all. The person nice, the boss is nice. You know, the boss is real courteous, ain't rude to you at all. And you really thinking, you know what? Maybe just their first impression, you know, because that person over there told me that this person right here is evil. They mean, they this, they that, whatever the case may be. They talk about you behind your back. They gossip. They do this. And then you actually see that person interact with that person. Like the boss will go over to that person and tell her, hey, I need you to go sweep up aisle 5 for me. Look, doggone it, I just got through sweeping aisle 3. Well, ma'am, I just need you to sweep aisle 4 for me, please. Could you just take care of the aisle for me? Okay, fine, whatever. Then the boss walk away and they walk over to you. You see that girl? I told you. They just mean. And you sitting there like they just asked you to do your job. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen. That's the type of thing we're talking about. People that say the world is picking on me. Hallelujah, amen. Celebrities got this bad. But it's not just a celebrity thing. We see it in celebrities because they celebrities. But people do this in the hood and in the suburbs and in the politics and in the move everywhere, every day, people are seeking attention. This is my opinion. I want to hear yours later. But people are seeking attention, but saying that everybody's picking on them. Praise God. I know people have gotten pulled over by the police. I've been in the car with them. And they swear the cop was racist and the cop was abusive and the cop was talking to them crazy. I was in the car with you. You was talking to him crazy. What you pull me over for? You pull me over because I'm black, huh? No, I pull you over because you ain't got no seatbelt on, sir. Whatever. If I was white and I didn't have a seatbelt on, you wouldn't pull me over. Yes, sir, I would have. The cop was so nice, he just kept writing his ticket. Told him have a good day. He got back in his car and drove off. He still cussed. This blankety blank cop blanket. But if you would have had your seatbelt on, we wouldn't have got stopped at all. And I probably got a warrant, and you over here getting us stopped. I don't appreciate you getting mad at the cop. He could have had us both out the car. And we already got in our minds, cops crazy. Cops are trigger happy. Why are you pushing him to the limit then? Why are you talking crazy to him? He do have a gun. If we go in the hood and we run into a blood or a crip with a gun, we ain't going to talk crazy to him. And he can go to jail for shooting us. But you're going to talk crazy to the cop and then say the cops was picking on us. All the cops ain't picking on us. You know they actually, you know they actually do stop people for doing stuff wrong. They actually do pull people over for driving too fast. Praise God. They actually give people tickets for they, he's going to stop me because my tail light was out. He's supposed to. Praise God. I've heard people say stupid stuff that the cops stopped them for. And yeah, we done seen people get killed behind this, but at the same time, that like I don't, that was them cops. I've been pulled over. Cops didn't even write me a ticket. White cops, but I've been pulled over by some black cops, and they was ready to take me to jail. The white cop had to tell them, "Nah, he good. Nah, we got to take him down. Nah, he good. It's just a traffic ticket." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
I've been there too.
Amen. Praise God. So we always say people picking on us. Hallelujah. Amen. But I wonder sometimes, I know for a fact I've seen people provoke other people and then say, "Did you see that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I saw it. Did you see what they did? I see what they did after what you did." Praise God. I seen you walk by and bump into them like it was an accident. It didn't really make it try to seem like it was an accident. We all know it wasn't an accident. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People post stuff on Facebook and then get mad at the comments. People picking on me. Well, why did you post that on Facebook? Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you see the comments? Yeah, I saw the comments. And see, and I think of things differently. I think of things like, you know, I think of things from a networking level a lot. So I'm looking like, I don't care who, what you posted, what you said. You watched it, didn't you? All right, that's another view in my book. I appreciate that. Praise God for you. That's how I feel about it. You over there, oh, I can't believe what they said. They said I need to put the Bible down and throw it out the window. I don't know. Well, what you read there for? I don't got time for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. They picking on you, but you posted it. You wasn't expecting no attention. People, y'all got Facebook. Y'all seen the perverted stuff people place on Facebook. And then women be like, "Why I see you in my inbox? What, did you see what you posted on Facebook? All these men are crazy." All these men in my inbox, they nasty, they dirty. I seen your profile picture. If I was in the world, I would have been in your inbox too. What are you talking about? I know women that say I don't get what all these other women talk about. Ain't nobody in my inbox. My inbox is dry. Ain't nothing in there. I'm thirsty. It needs some water in my inbox. Ain't nothing in there. So why your inbox over flooded? It could be the cleavage picture. It could be the booty picture. It could be the twerking picture. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we go, men be strolling and we stroll. We see your cute picture. You going to church. Okay, we see the cute picture. You with your kids. We see you and your hubby. Then we see what we call TNA. Amen. But for the purpose of the show, we go say breast and booty all on the page, all in the screen. And you think, why you think you got 1,000 likes? Praise God. It wasn't because, oh my God, is that contour she has on? Oh, I love contour. Press like on that. I love that. All right. Are those red bottoms? Praise the Lord. She got on red bottoms. Hit that like button. No, we like what's underneath them. Hallelujah, amen. That's why your inbox is full. Ain't nobody, them men ain't harassing you. You harassing them. What they call it in the world, thirst traps. That's a thirst trap. And then we got Christians posting thirst traps. Hallelujah. Somebody, I'm just being a sexy Christian exploring my sexuality. But don't get mad when other men on Facebook want to explore your sexuality too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you put it out there. Amen. TDJ said this one time. He said, "If you're not up for sale, why do you have your sign still up?" Praise God. Hallelujah.
Good
and
point.
Really shocked. you really shot. Notice this. Nicki Minaj, Paris Hilton, all them famous rich women that dress and pose provocatively ain't surprised at people in their inbox. It's not a shock to them because they expect that because they know how they dress. They know this is going to happen. People have a problem with, they see that and they want to mimic that, and then they shock people in their inbox. Hallelujah, praise God. Is everybody picking on me? No, you picking on everybody. You attracting yourself to the world and then shocked. Jesus wasn't shocked when everybody was on his case because he knew this was going to happen. He ain't saying, why is everybody picking on me? Why the Pharisees keep trying to test me? Nah, because he knew it was going to happen. He expected this to happen. I put myself out there. This is going to happen.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Especially, now let's talk about ministry. You think the other preachers ain't going to talk about you? You not like them. Of course they're going to talk about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because they want you to be with them. Amen. You talk to people they don't talk to. You talk to sinners. Remember, why Jesus over there with the sinners? They ain't like Jesus being with the sinners. What makes you think they gonna like it's okay for you? Praise God. You out there, and you got to accept the fact that this is gonna happen. The Bible says it like this: it's impossible to believe, but offenses will come. It's impossible to believe, but offenses will come. I'm teaching the word of God. I'm teaching the truth. The truth, why is it offending people? Jesus had to say this because he was talking to the disciples. When you read the scripture, it said, and Jesus said to the disciples. Why does he have to say it to the disciples? Because they're the closest ones to Jesus. And us being the closest ones to Jesus, walking with Jesus, if I'm close to you and I'm walking with you, and you're God, I shouldn't be offended by nothing. Everything should be great. And Jesus is like, no, it's actually the opposite. Offense is going to come regardless. Hallelujah. The trick to keeping the offenses low is not to offend back. Because the Bible says you reap what you sow. So when you get offended, say I slapped you. And you slapped me. Because you got offended because I slapped you. You honestly think, because you slapped me back, that it's over with. No, guess what's going to happen? You finna get another slap. You might get a jab, a right hook, a left crouch. You might get stomped because you hit me back. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the same thing spiritually. When something happens to you and somebody lied to you, so you lie to them. Oh, she going to lie to me? All right, I'm going to show her. Before I break up with her, I'm going to sleep with her best friend. What? And then your next relationship, why is she sleeping with your best friend? Because you slept with your ex's best friend, and it just came back to you hit, somebody hit you, you hit them back, and you got hit back again. Praise God. That's spiritually what goes on when offenses come. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what happens in relationships. If you notice in relationships, they be going back and forth. Especially people that cheat on each other. I know people been together, I think that couple been together 12 years, but they keep going back and forth. Because I think everybody done stopped, but the last part, I still owe you one. So I'm holding this one for the right opportunity. Then when I get it, I'm going to get mine. And then when you find that, now you owe me one. And just keep going back and forth. Hallelujah, amen, because you're going to keep reaping what you're sowing. Hallelujah, amen. Amen. When you put Jesus said, as being who we are, people are going to pick on you, if that's the way you want to put it. That's the way we used to say it in school. People bullying me, people picking on me, he don't like me, he be talking about me. Hallelujah. Guess what? People got bigger, but they did not change. Hallelujah. People got bigger. They got grown. They got driver's license. They got kids of their own. They got husbands and wives of their own. And they still running around talking about people. They still talking about people. They still, except when they get grown, we stop calling them bullies and we start calling them haters. Hallelujah. That's bleeding into our next topic. So before I do that, amen. Praise. Any comments on this topic? You ever knew anybody who fit this description? The world is against me. Everybody's picking on me. But you really attracting this. This is something that you've noticed about this person, that they like this attention. This is not nothing they're trying to get away from. They like this attention. And they and either it's subconscious or it's conscious, but it's something they're doing on purpose. Praise God. Something we've done on purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. So any comments on that? Take y'all time. Y'all quit talking over each other. One at a time, please.
Pastor, you said it all.
Hey, man.
Only thing you said, because I missed part of what you said because my brother called and I thought it might be emergency, but he was just calling to check on me, which that's a surprise. But God changes things, you know. But, you were talking about the people with the police issues, and I missed the front side of that. But, you know, we do have a problem in this country, and it is a lot of people doing stuff wrong, intimidating these cops, and then wondering why they're getting shot. That is true. But at the same time, I see white people do far worse than the black people do, and they don't get shot. I ain't seen nobody black go out here and kill 8 people and get peacefully arrested. I ain't seen nobody black shoot 20 people and get peacefully arrested. I seen blacks do far less, and they dead. So we got the problem of blacks killing blacks, which if they really watched what was going on, they wouldn't do that. They would see that the white people setting them up, trying to make them kill each other. You know, and this is it's like embedded in our country, an attitude that's like under, how can I say, like underlying attitude, what do they call it? Like it's not in your face. It's a subliminal message for them to not take nothing and kill each other, you know. But then at the same time, when we do go to the cops, we have people calling the cops for help, and the cops is coming and beating your brains in, locking you up and killing you. And black men are targets. We are a target from the attitude. They have an attitude of where even a black cop is worse on you than a white cop. Like you explained, like this rapper made a song back in the day, and I ain't never been in a rap, so I obviously can't tell you who it was, but he talked about how the black cop was worse than the white cop. He was telling the truth. The black cop wanted to get you, and the white cop might give you the break.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. And you know, not to get too deep off subject, but a lot of the cops, I believe, were the guys that were bullied. I want to say they were bullied in school, and they were bullied by other black guys. I'm talking about the black cops that treat the other black brothers so rough. It's like now I got the power and I'm gonna show you who the boss is before you even like they that's why I say black people are more racist than white people, because how you gonna hate me because I look like the guy that used to pick on you in school? Praise God. And that's what they do. Like I said, they wanted to take me to jail, and the white cop and the sergeant was like, no, he's good. He's good. They're like, no, but he has a warrant. Like, it's just a traffic ticket, guys. Come on. He was like, come on, guys. Really? So go ahead.
To be a police officer, you have to take a psychological, right? If you do not fit a certain profile, a certain attitude, certain mentality, you are not going to be on the police force. I'm telling you now. And that certain profile, that attitude is like a superior, like I'm better than the next guy. And then with a lot of black people that get up there, they say, oh, I'm better than them. I've had people, even let's go more recent in the trucking. I've met black people in positions of management that, you know, okay, their parents struggled, they got education, now they're in the leadership position, and they do kick off a image or attitude like, I think I'm better than you, just underprivileged, and I'm better, I'm going to show you the way, not realizing that somebody may not have had the same privileges as you to get to college, but they ain't dumb. Just because they don't have that degree, don't make them dumb.
Uh-huh.
If you understand what I'm saying. But they have that attitude, like, I'm better, and you just this, you just that. They're focused on what they're seeing on TV and not reality. They're not looking at people as human beings. They're looking at, oh, I'm better than them. They're underprivileged. They gangster. They this and they that. You know, their attitude, mentality, what's being programmed on them subliminally. My pronunciation, you know what I'm saying.
Right, subliminally. Yeah, I got trouble with that. The M's too close together right there. But yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And they fall into that category too, because they feel like, because they cops, everybody have to get them. And nobody likes me because I'm a cop, especially black people. Black people hate me because I'm a cop. So they automatically got that attitude. They picking a fight with us. They coming to us with a certain attitude. Like I told y'all other day, I got booked in, and they having one attitude booking me in to one of the cops say, oh, no, he's not. He ain't one of them. He cool. And he's like, oh, okay, man, let me see your hand. I just need to fingerprint you right quick. So it's like you putting on an act because you think you want to intimidate me. And it's why are you doing that unless you think I automatically have a problem with you? Everybody, the cops pull over, we don't have a problem with y'all. I just want my ticket so I can go home about my business. I got to go. I'm on a time schedule. You ain't got nowhere to be. You at work. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get there. Amen. Praise God.
One more point I want to make real fast and ascend this. Look at what happened to the Indians. They had the soldiers, the white man, you know, I hate to say it like that, but he took the Indians and made them scouts, let them wear jackets and let them have guns, but said, no, your brother Indians can't have guns. You better praise them. And these Indians thought they were being accepted by the white man until once they defeated the Indian nation, Serrano and all of them. Then they said, okay, now give me them guns and give me that jacket. Now you stand over there, you just an Indian like them, and you're going to march on this death march down to the swamps of Florida where y'all going to live. You see what I'm saying? Because they think they're being accepted by them. They're not being accepted. They're just being accepted and praised until they finish with them. Same thing. Look at Hitler. When they're persecuting the Jews, and remember, they were blacks first and gypsies. They took people, said, okay, you going to control your people. And these people that the Nazis put in charge to keep the Jews in control, they would beat down their own people worse than the Nazis would, you know, because they scared for their life, too. And then they was marching to the gas chambers just like everybody else. You're not going to be accepted by them. We have to stand up. And people have to start waking up and recognizing who the enemy is. Not all people are racist. Now, all white people are racist out to kill black. Many of them don't realize what they are, even though it's coming out now. End of story.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Do we have any more comments on this particular subject before we move on to the next one? Any more comments? Amen, amen. Bless God. Well, we're going to move on to subject number three. And subject number three, amen, it says, have you become the hater that you used to hate? In other words, you know, a lot of people, well, it don't really matter the age. It really don't. But what matters is at a certain point in your life, you felt like people were hating on you for whatever reason they want, whatever it could have been. And they were hating on you because they didn't know the situation that you were in. They don't know how you got there, whatever the case may be. So sometimes we find ourselves doing the same thing people used to do to us. We when I say hate, you that hate, that word hate, when we that word hater comes, it's a urban word, urban slang. When you get deep into the word hater, the hater is just somebody who judges somebody else. I knew somebody that used to just they car didn't have air, so they would hate. They would do it on purpose. I'm hating on everybody that got air. Oh, you think you better than me because you got air? I'm just as good as you is. I'm gonna have my air one day. That person ain't really worried about. don't even know you ain't even got no air. You know what I'm saying? Like you just hating. Just some people hate to hate. You sit around. I used to do this. Sit around in restaurants and talk about people. They look, that person over there look like, look at Chris Brown over there. Chris Brown over there at the drink machine. You know, look, there go Oprah. I saw Oprah over there. I'm finna go ask her, can I get a car? And you get a car, and we get a car. Like, just hating on people. Just for no reason. And a lot of times we become the hater that we used to didn't like. Judging people on stuff. Like I used to, for instance, I said it on the Friday morning thing. I used to be the type of guy that wasn't a cheater. I wasn't I ain't gonna say I wasn't a cheater because I did cheat sometimes. But I wasn't what you call like a dog. Like it was a lot of women names and numbers in my phone, and I talked to a lot of them on a regular basis, but I wasn't sleeping with them. And to me, that was okay. That was okay. And if you saw me, and the thing was, a lot of them was my employees. I ran, at one time I had 3 KFCs, and I hired mostly women, not because I like went like I was a homemonger or nothing. I just like working better with women than with men. I'm gonna be honest, men, I hate working with men. Men are just slow. They talk too much. They gossip more than the women and got nerve to be talking about women. Boy, get to work. Get off your phone and get to work. I don't got to say that to the women. So I had mostly women. But I don't know these women like me. Understand, I had, growing up, I didn't know. I was a big kid. Girls didn't like me growing up. And I kept that mentality into my adulthood. So I didn't think none of these women like me. And I guarantee you, I don't care who you are, if you have 10, 20, 30, 10 women at each restaurant, just 30 women, one of them like you. I don't care what you look like. I wasn't thinking about this at the time, but one of them like you. Now, I wasn't looking at it like I was doing something wrong because I'm not sleeping with none of them. I don't care if they calling me in the middle of the night, my boyfriend did this, girl, it's going to be okay. I'm looking at it like, ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't doing nothing wrong. I'm not saying I wasn't doing nothing wrong because in the end, how does my wife feel about this, my wife at the time? How she feel about me talking to these women? She trusted me, but she was still like, I don't know how you got, why they always calling you? They ain't even calling you by work. I'm like, well, baby, they want advice. I just got to give them advice and tell them, uh-huh, yeah, they want some advice, all right. I'm like, girl, whatever. Them girls don't want nothing from me. But then I turn around and see a guy with talking to just as many women and assume he's sleeping with all of them. That go back to being a hypocrite right there. But then I'm becoming the hater that I hate. I used to hate when people saw coming there, ooh, Dre, you got all the women up in here, boy. Player, player, I see you. Nah, it ain't even like that, bro. All these good workers. I bet they is some good workers, bro. I see you. No. That's not even what's going on. Like, yeah, whatever. Then I see somebody else with two or three girls. Oh, boy, look at that player right there. He got them all. OG in the building. GQ. Hey, here I am. I'm hating on a person that's doing the same thing I'm doing or used to do. I'm prejudging them. And that prejudgment is causing me to hate on them. Hating is when you, and then you get to talking about people and spreading rumors about people that ain't true, and people label you a hater, but in your mind, you telling the truth. Let me explain. It's two different kind of haters. It's haters that know they haters, and ignorant haters. You don't even know you're a hater. Somebody got to come tell you, you know you're a hater. I don't know why his album Platinum, he can't even rap. Well, you quit hating on that man because he got money. And he sold and you didn't. That's why you hating, because he sold, you didn't, you think you better. Why he got more members than me? He can't preach. Quit hating. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why he got married for me? I can get a woman better than him. Quit hating. You probably passed your woman up. Because you got standards. You got a list. You got, praise God. Hallelujah. That, and you hating on the next person. Hallelujah. Amen. People, I've seen people, and I've actually seen this happen. People, what's his name? He told a joke. You know, you in a Chrysler 300, you hating on the dude in the Bentley. Talking about my car look just like yours. No, it don't. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That man's driving a Bentley. You are driving a Chrysler 300. Stop hating. Talking about my car look just like his car. No, it don't. You have become the hater you used to talk about. Hallelujah. On whatever level it is. Praise God. You see somebody dressed a certain, remember you used to dress like that too. Hallelujah. And you see them dressed like that. And you knew you wasn't no hoe because you. I know I ain't a hoe. I just dress like this. Okay, but she a hoe and she dressed. She got on more clothes than you. But you done judged her. Well, I don't even dress like that no more. It don't matter. You used to. And when you did, you hated when people hated on you. And that's the excuse you used too. That's what you said. You didn't say they right, I'm showing too much cleavage, or they right, my thong shouldn't be showing. You said, girl, they hating on me because I can rock this outfit and they can't. Hallelujah. If you rock this outfit, your jelly roll will be hanging over your G-string. That's why you hating on me. Praise God. No, she hating on you, but she really hating on you because her man is with her and she don't want her man looking at you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you want to turn and call her a hoe. Amen. Praise God. But you used to dress like that. You turned into the hater that you used to hate. You used to hate when church folks used to judge you. They don't know me. They don't know my situation. They don't know what I'm going through. I heard she turned the trick of the night, girl. They don't know my light bill was due back then. They don't know what I had to go through growing up. They don't know this. They don't know that. They don't know this. But then you get saved. That's why the Bible say to humble yourself. You get saved and you become like the dude, the Pharisees. Remember Jesus compared, it was a sinner and a Pharisee. And he said the tax collector who was the sinner, he walked up to the altar. Oh, my God, the tax collector was at the church. The sinner was at the church. And he gave an offering. And he told God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And then the Pharisees came, gave his offering, looked over and saw the tax collector and said, God, I thank you. I'm not like that tax collector over there. And Jesus said, the Lord is going to have mercy on the tax collector, not on the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees has become a hater. I'm glad I ain't like you. But you used to be. You probably still is. Remember them Pharisees back then, just like they is today. Look on YouTube how many preachers. See, it was Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees believed that there was a resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe it was a resurrection. But they both wanted money. They both worked together because their primary goal was to get that money. Hallelujah. So if you're interfering with my money, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to hate on you. So some of them were some on purpose haters. Jesus clearly said, if you tear this temple down, if you tear this temple down, if you tear this temple down, I will resurrect it in 3 days. But for some reason, you thought I said, I'm going to tear this temple down. Never mind, I'm going to resurrect it in 3 days. That's the only part got out the story to the laws. He said he's going to tear down the temple. I didn't even say that. I said, if you tear down, even if you misunderstood that I'm not talking about this building behind me, I'm talking about my body. Even if you misunderstood that, I didn't say I was going to do it. I said you was going to do it. So that's why you're a hater. Hater, hater alert, woo-woo, hater. Praise God, hallelujah. But sometimes we turn into them haters. Some of them preachers, amen, some of them preachers, some of them Pharisees, they didn't set out to be in a religious set. They didn't set out to fleece the sheep. Even today, there's a lot of preachers out there. They didn't set out to fleece the sheep. There's a lot of police officers out there. They didn't set out to be the kind of police officers they are. They set out to be one thing. A lot of people got into politics. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to start preaching the gospel. I'm going to get people saved. It ain't even about the money. Forget the money. I ain't worried about the money. I'm trying to get people saved. Hallelujah. I'm trying to clean up my neighborhood. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And then they get in it and begin to be influenced by what's already going on. And then they become that hater that they used to hate. They become that person that takes a bribe. Hallelujah. But I'm going to do it this time. But it's different for me. But remember, you the hater, you to become that. It's different for you because you know you got to pay your kid's karate bill and your daughter got cheerleading and your wife always wants something. So it's different for you. I don't know why them other cops used to do it. But that ain't why I'm doing it. It's different for me. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's the mentality that's becoming the hater that you used to hate. Now I want to open up the line. Anybody out there, praise God, all the lines are open. Do you know someone or have you ever did it and had to catch yourself? Look at her over there with all them girls. She got it. She must be a freak. Don't you hang out with nothing but God? Oh, that's different. Those are my big bucks. You know what I'm saying? We look out for each other. We a crew. They ain't trying to do nothing with me. I ain't trying to do nothing with them. Well, how you know that ain't going on over there? Well, I'm just saying. It, all them guys. But that's what's going on with you. I know. Me too. I've been there. Same thing with me. I did it too. It's okay. Praise God. Amen. The line is open. Amen. We got a testimony. We got a witness statement. Hallelujah.
Elder Prevost, I ain't going to say too much because I want to get hiccups. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I understand that, what you're saying. You know, even as becoming a preacher, we look over there and see a group of girls, and we shake our head and go, mm-mm-mm. There wasn't girls dressed like that. But just like you saying, before we came to preacher, we used to look over there and say, man, look at them girls. But just because we now preachers and we know right from wrong, we know ignorance that we once lied in, and you have to look at yourself. A lot of stuff that you were just saying, we have to look at ourselves and say, man, I was ignorant back then too. I used to think like that. And see, that's when you know that you come a long way in Christ and you're in the ways of God, because when you can look at yourself and frown on the very things that you used to do. But you can't turn the things that you used to do into, you know, you're just so righteous now. You know. Because you're not. We were all there. There nobody was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. There was nobody born righteous. We all had to come this way. And we were all ignorant. what we thought was, you know, not hating, you can become a hater later on. Because you doing the same thing, you taking the same photo stance, you taking the same stance as big boy up the street, or, you know, Mr. So-and-so up the street. Mr. So-and-so up the street don't realize he used to be the same one too. And so we got to look at our own selves and realize that, give somebody else a chance, because scripture says in book of Titus 3, I believe chapter 3 and verse 3, we were all malice, hateful, envious, hating one another. We were all of this until one day the grace of God came and changed us. And so we got to have mercy on those that come to church that's not dressed like you or smell like you, or you don't know this sister, this all she got. Look at her for coming to see the Lord instead of something else. If you're worried about what she got on, go buy her some clothes. We don't think like this, though. Well, child, it ain't my responsibility. Well, it ain't your responsibility to kill her in. So we just got to, that's a good, all that was a good analogy of what haterism is. And you could become a hater when you ain't even trying to be. And you could become a hater, like you said, they don't know why I'm doing this. They don't know why I got to do this. So what? Just because your excuse don't make it, just because you got an excuse for what you're doing, that justify what you're doing. Now, if you went to the store and stuck a steak in your pocket and they caught you outside, do you go back there and tell them your kid's hungry? They don't care. They're not going to care that your kids is hungry. And so it doesn't matter what your excuse is. Remember, somebody else got the same excuse. You don't know what their reason is. You don't know why that girl on the street walking. You don't know. And there's some good women out there that don't know no other way. They haven't been taught nothing at home. They can't get no help from the church. And if they go to the pastor, he done proposition them. Just like that. Just like, what's that movie, Set It Off, when Jada Pickett had to go to the boy with the money? You see there? You don't know. So don't always judge a book by its cover. And remember, when somebody in a situation, just remember you was in that same situation too. You just don't realize it. Because my excuse of selling drugs, I wanted, you know, I'm tired of eating hamburger with my beans. I want some steak. You know, I'm tired of wearing Kmart red light special clothes. I want to go shop at Sears, and I want me a members only like the big boys at school. I hung out with them. What they got? So how do I get that? Let me go turn a 20 into 40 and a 40 into 80 real quick. And then I'm going to get me a members only. Now I got me a members only. All the boys up there, 12, 15 of them, we all got members onlys. Now I get the crack jokes and crack on people. You can't no longer talk about my Kmart members only that wasn't a members only. You know, so don't always judge book by its cover. Stop becoming a hater, because you can become a hater on the under anyway. Back over to you.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Ray, for those comments. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad he brought up that scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. That scripture say we all did this stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. So we got to look at them. just like you looked at yourself at the time. Remember, some of us had a, I'm not ready right now. When I'm ready, I'll get it together. Some of them people ain't ready yet. You want them to get it together because you know tomorrow ain't promised. Hallelujah. But all you can do is tell somebody. After that, you can't judge them because you did the same. Ain't nobody on this line. Just go to church when somebody told you to. You need to get your life together. You was like, okay, let me turn one more, and then I'm one more. Praise God. Some of them did 20, 25 more. Hallelujah. Amen. But we still did that one more. We didn't go right there and there. I remember I was at work, and I know for a fact I was surrounded by whores and homemongers and drug addicts. I know this for a fact. And this woman came to the counter, was waiting on her food, and I go take her food, and she going to tell me I need to go to church. And I looked around, and I'm like, out of all these people in this room, you going to tell me I'm the one need to go to church? No, all these people need to go to church. Praise God. But I'm judging them. Hallelujah. Now I'm being a hater. That's almost like the law's coming. You need to go to jail. I need to go to jail. No, they need to go to jail over there. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But this just go to show you, amen. God point out who he want to point out, pick out who he want to pick out. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can't be a hater. Hallelujah, amen, because he picked you out. You want to go hate on somebody? No, Lord, what about him? Ain't that what Adam did to Eve? Well, she the one, if you wouldn't have gave her to me, this would have never happened. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say that's the first time man became a hater. And when you really read it, he not hating on Eve. He hating on God. He said, this woman that you gave me. He told God this is your fault. Everything was all good. You the one thought it wasn't good that I should be alone. I didn't ask for this woman. Now this woman that came along and messed everything up, this is all your fault. Praise God. Hating number one. Hallelujah. Instant hating. Praise God. Any more comments? I'm becoming a hater that you used to hate. Any more comments? Amen. Amen. Bless God. I give a long pause because I know some people be waiting for people to talk to, and some people be taking their phone off of mute. Amen. But if y'all just moving slow and I get to talking, just cut me off real quick before we get deep into it. Like, as soon as I say, okay, the next topic, hurry up and start talking, and I know you can go ahead. Praise God. Okay, we're getting to number four. This is the last topic of today, and then we're going to be out of here. Amen. And this topic says, what is the opposite of the Holy Ghost? The opposite of the Holy Ghost. Now, I ask this question because with every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, if it's good, there's evil. If there's light, there's darkness. So if there's a Holy Ghost, if there's a God and a devil, if there's a Holy Ghost, is there an unholy ghost? Praise God, the opposite of the Holy Ghost. Because we know what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost, amen, and we're not talking about the gifts. You cannot judge, me and Pastor Lex was talking about this a couple years ago. You can't judge somebody's Holy Ghost. I know the Bible says they judge by the evidence of speaking in tongues. But devils speak in tongues too. Praise God. Keep in mind, tongues is the heavenly language. That's what they call it, the heavenly language. Where you think the demons came from? The devils came from? They came from heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. They fell from heaven. The Bible says Satan fell from heaven like a lightning bolt. He was Lucifer. It was Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. They were the three archangels. They were second only to God. They set up under God. And Lucifer was the one that was in charge of the praise. But he started wanting to keep the praise for himself, got into a fight, tried to take over heaven, and got kicked out. Now they down here. They are still down here. Praise God. Amen. They ain't been cast out into the lake of fire and all that yet. Remember when Jesus came across Legion and Legion started talking, the demons inside the man started talking, and they said, why are you here? Are you here to cast us out to the lake? It ain't time. Please don't do it yet. Let us stay in the region. And Jesus allowed them to stay in the region. So they are still here. So when you ask, what's the opposite of the Holy Ghost? Anything that makes you do the opposite of the Word of God. Praise God. It's not like, I know it's some particular spirits out there. We got the Beelzebub spirit. We have the Jezebel spirit. We have the Pharaoh spirit. We have the pilots. We have all these spirits are still in the earth. When we that'd be the issue that real spiritual believers have with what you call it when you kill somebody, the death penalty. Because the death penalty, that spiritual person that goes to the Senate or the council, whoever makes the law, the legislative, and say we shouldn't have the death penalty, that spiritual person that's out there, not everybody out there because it's a group of them, but it's a spiritual person in the group. The spiritual person is coming from the aspect of you're going to kill that man and set that spirit free. That whatever caused that man to be a serial killer is a spirit. That spirit is inside of him. You think by killing the man, you're solving the problem. But by killing the man, you're setting loose that spirit. And all that spirit is going to do is go inhabit someone else. That's why we have what they call copycat crimes. You know, a crime happened in 1922. Somebody killed 15 women and killed them a certain way. And then all of a sudden somebody pop up in 2021 and they start killing people in the same exact pattern. And they like, well, they must have read a book or saw a movie. No, that's that same spirit. If you look back, you might see that this spirit was somewhere in Australia in the 80s, and then somewhere in Canada in the 60s, this spirit is not dead. You killed the man, but you didn't kill the spirit. So the opposite of the Holy Ghost, it's in Galatians. My bad, y'all. I should have had it turned to Galatians. I meant to have it turned to Galatians, especially because Galatians is so small and so hard to find in this big old Bible I got right here. But in the book of Galatians, it tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are, the Holy Spirit, and it tells us what the works of the flesh are. And when we read what the fruits of the Spirit are, well, he talks about the fruits of the works of the flesh first. But I like looking at the fruits of the Spirit first, because when you see the fruits of the Spirit, you see how I should be acting. You know what I'm saying? You see how I should be acting. Like, okay, it's the verse 22, chapter 5 of book of Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, another word for fruit is produce. Produce. This is what I should be producing. I should be producing love, joy, peace, long suffering. If you one of them people, you like my grandmother, when she died, her last husband died on her, but she had been married like 3-4 times and had a couple of live-in boyfriends in between it. She didn't have no long-suffering. She couldn't put up with nothing for a while. If you got on her nerves, she cut you loose. She said they used to call her Lulu Hips. I'm Lulu Hips. I don't need you. You getting on my nerves. I'm gonna cut you loose and go find me somebody else. Hallelujah. Amen. Because she ain't had the Holy Ghost. She ain't get the Holy Ghost till she was what, 50 something? Hallelujah. Then she stayed with her last husband till the day he died. Praise God. But every other man she cut loose. Why? She didn't have the Holy Spirit. She ain't had no long suffering. Hallelujah. She wasn't suffering a long time. That means you be able to put up with somebody's stuff. Y'all might say BS for a long time. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how you know you got the Holy Ghost. So if I don't have the Holy Ghost, I'm cutting you loose. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or sometimes, watch this, and I've said this before, and some people, it's hard for them to grasp this concept, that you have the Holy Ghost, but you're not using all of it. You know, like you got a car, and you know you got automatic windows. You ain't necessarily got to hold the button down. You can just press it one time, and the window's going to go down by itself, but you like to hold the button down. It's a feature that comes in the car, but you choose not to use it. I said plenty of times I would be at work and I would choose not to use certain features of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about since I done got back saved. Hallelujah. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. I would cut that off. A customer, especially because I felt like I was Mr. Customer Service. Hallelujah. I felt like I was Mr. Customer Service. I felt like I was the nicest, most a customer-friendly person in the world. So how dare you tell me I got bad customer service? You want to see some bad customer service? Let me cut this meekness off right quick. Click. Let me tell you something, lady. If you don't want to be here, you ain't got to be here. You can go to, we got chicken shacks all around here. It's one across the street, one down the road. Hit them up if you want to. Nah, I'm done. Let me cut my meekness back off. Click. I'm sorry about that, ma'am. You want a refund? No, you can't do it like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. We do it all the time. We walk up in church. Oh, praise God. I'm so blessed to be here this month. Is she in my seat? No, she ain't in my seat. Let me cut this joy, this meekness, and this goodness out. Excuse me, little mama. I don't know. I've been going to this church 15 years. I am Mother So-and-so. This is my spot. Oh, I'm sorry. I know you're sorry, but you need to apologize. Ooh. And then they speak to you later on, and they just as sweet. You have a blessed day. Because they cut it off and on. It ain't about speaking in tongues. Okay, you spoke in tongues. You don't even know what you said. So I don't even, you're not impressing me. Praise God, hallelujah. You're impressing me with the way you act. You mean to tell me you let that person cuss you out and you ain't say nothing? You turned your meekness all the way up. Then you know we got meekness levels, 1 to 10. We got levels to all this. We got levels. You should have it on high all the time, all the way turned up. That's a worldly song. All the way turned up, your Holy Ghost need to be all the way turned up. It can't be on medium. I'm sorry, praise God. It can't be on medium. Hallelujah. Medium will get you killed. Medium will get you in trouble, because if medium is, you'll tell them off a little bit. It's on medium. Hey, if you ever say something to my kid again, I'm going to throw a brick to you with me. Have a blessed day. Nah, you need to cut, you need to cut your Holy Ghost up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at the works of the flesh. So if we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, then the opposite of the Holy Ghost, praise God, in my eyes reading this, would be having to do with the flesh. A spirit that inhabits your flesh. Praise God. Remember, Jesus said, you cast a demon out of a person, then that person gets themselves cleaned up, but the spirit goes to a dry place. And then when they get tired of being in the dry place, they say, I'm going to go back home. That the spirit calls you their home. That's one thing you got to look at that scripture. That spirit considers you their property. Hallelujah. They just on vacation right now, and they plan on coming back. And they come, and the Bible say when the spirit comes back, it brings seven more evil spirits than it. Now, you was already, you know what you was already doing. Praise God. But it comes back because it says you're empty. Why was Jesus talking about this? It was talking about this because it says you have to be filled. That's where you get filled with the Holy Ghost from, because the Spirit left, that Spirit left and left you empty. Now you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So when that Spirit come back with seven of his friends, the Holy Ghost has occupied your house, you. And it's a soul sign on the lawn, and the spirits that were coming back were like, oh, my goodness, somebody bought this house. I knew, oh, man, we was gone too long. Hallelujah. Because if you don't get the Holy Ghost, guess what's going to happen? The flesh. Here you go. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lackadaisicalness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. We didn't invent that word. I know we thought we invented the word hater. No, it's in the Bible. Hatred, variance, illuminations, wrath, strife, heresies, enviness, murders, drunkenness, revelness, and such like. He says, so it's this stuff and stuff like this. This stuff and stuff like this, being drunk, killing people, murder. Oh, Elder, okay, I'm not in that category. I don't drink, Elder. I'm good. I ain't killed nobody. I'm good. But what about wrath and strife is in there, too? You mad at somebody at your job? You know how you mad at somebody at your job? When you pray for that person and you say, you know what, I'm going to pray for them. But you don't pray for them, you pray for yourself. Elder, what is you talking about? You know that prayer you do. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna pray today. I'm gonna pray for her. Lord, please don't let this woman say nothing to me crazy today, Lord. Let her stay in her zone, and I'm gonna stay in mine. In Jesus' name. You didn't pray for her. You said don't let her say nothing to you. You praying for yourself. You praying that you don't go off. You praying that you don't flip. That's what you praying for. Hallelujah. Amen, because you got some wrath and some strife. So you ain't got no long-suffering, no joy, no gentleness. Gentleness, you ain't gentle with it. You know you can tell somebody off in a gentle way. Praise God. You can turn somebody down in a gentle way. I'm sorry, sir, you're just not my type. Maybe, you know, at another time, at another place, we could have got together, but I'm just not. Nah, I'm sorry. Nah, you like, you know what? You need to get up out of my face. You are just not. I ain't nobody feeling you. Where are you going anyway with them shoes? No. You need to get your game together before you come step to, you know. These are church people doing this, talking this way and doing this kind of stuff. These ain't worldly people. You find out later, these people go to church? You lying. Every Sunday in the choir, your husband a deacon? What? Nah, you lying. Because ain't nothing you seen about them. You got the Holy Ghost. Well, I lot of my Honda. You want me to buy you a Honda? What? I don't understand. Nah, something ain't right. Is that the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you really prophesying or are you prophesying? Hallelujah. Praise God. Is that the Holy Ghost? Why are you hollering at me? Stop hollering at me. Praise God. Where's the gentleness? Hallelujah. Did you just beat your kids? I mean, you just beat them. I've been there, praise God. We talk about being a hypocrite. We've been there. You done beat your kid before. Don't act like you ain't never hit. Come on now. I ain't going to play with y'all. Praise God. Hallelujah. You done beat the heck out that kid. Hallelujah. There wasn't no Holy Ghost in there. Well, say you spat a rod. Spat a rod. You gave him the rod, the kitchen sink, the broomstick, and the baseball bat. That wasn't the rod. Hallelujah. That was the opposite. I don't think that was the Holy Ghost. That's just my opinion. Praise God. But like I said, I want to hear y'all. What do y'all think the opposite? I mean, we know what the words say, and we supposed to go by what's written. Hallelujah. Amen. But what y'all seen something that y'all thought was the opposite? I know that ain't the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. And have you seen the Holy Ghost in people that you don't expect to see the Holy Ghost in? People that you consider a sinner. Hallelujah. You see people being meek, people giving, people loving, people having joy, people having long suffering, and you be like, do they even go to church? I don't even know if they go to church or not, but they show all the displays that you're supposed to be showing. That's when it become a problem. It's a problem now because that person, I know she go to the club. I know she drinking like the party. But she's showing more fruits of the Spirit than I am. It's something wrong with that picture when people of the world can teach you a lesson and you in church. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Saved and sanctified. That's what we used to say in the Church of God in Christ. We saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you ain't acting like it. Because if I sit in your spot, you going to snatch me up. You going to go to the usher. Oh, my. You going to get the ushers? I'm sorry. Praise God. Amen. The opposite of the Holy Ghost. Anybody got any comments on that? The opposite of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Opposite of the Holy Ghost. The line is open. Anybody got any comments on that? Make sure all the lines, yeah. All y'all unmuted. Y'all unmuted.
Well, Pastor, isn't opposite of the Holy Ghost be demon possession?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's another way to say it, demon possession. Yep. Because people have the spirit. I heard a preacher preaching about the spirit of, the spirit of Pharaoh, the controlling spirit, people that want to control you. And you go back enough in the research, you'll find, yeah, they were Hebrews, Abraham them, and Pharaoh and them were Egyptians. They were from Egypt. But if you go far enough, you find out these people got the same blood. Like, it's not like black, white, like you can tell a difference in the race or something like that. All you know is that they're from over here and we from over there, but we look how close they land was to each other. They ain't have to go far, like real, real far like that. So it's like you trying to control your own people and say I'm not one of your people and you trying to control me when we all the same people. I feel like that goes on. Like I always say, that's what's going on today. We got black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and all these different races. But when we read our Bibles, it started with two people, Adam and Eve. And then we learn through migration that the race, that's how we got all these different races, because you went up there to where it was snowing and there wasn't no sun. So over years, hundreds or thousands of years, you got white. And I went down there to where it was nothing but sun. And wasn't no snow at all, and I got black earth. And then we meet back up, and we trying to say we different, but we really the same. And we being separated by something that's stupid because we really the same. It's like you having two kids, and one of them go stay with the mom, and the other one go stay with the daddy. Then when they come to family reunions, they say, you not my brother, you not my sister, because I'm from to Idaho and you from Nebraska. Y'all got the same mama and daddy. We got the same mama and daddy. Us and the white man and the Asian man and the Mexican man, we all got the same mama and daddy. Adam and Eve, the same too. When women get mad about having their menstrual cycles, every woman in the world gets mad at Eve. Every woman, not just the black woman, not just the white woman. I wish that black girl wouldn't hate that. No, every woman is mad at Eve. Every man get up and preach Eve shouldn't eat the apple. Black, white, Mexican, Caucasian, don't matter. Everybody mad at Adam. If we all mad at the same two people, how are we all different? Praise God. We all the same, but that's how they keep us divided. We all God's children. Think about it. Abraham had two sons. Them other people, Ishmael's kids, they still Abraham's kids. Hallelujah. They still Hebrews. No, they ain't Hebrews. Yes, they are. If my daddy is a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew by blood, automatically. Ishmael's daddy was a Hebrew, the first Hebrew. So everybody up under him is a Hebrew. Just because you don't claim them. You know, we got some family members we don't want to claim. That's still your brother. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's how they keep us divided, with that the spirit of division. God, the devil is the one that brings that spirit of division, because if I keep y'all divided, if I keep the black man fighting the white man and the Asian man fighting the black man and the Mexican man fighting all the men, if I keep this going, then God won't be seen. Won't no unity come. See, the devil's scared if we all come together, we going to find God. Not that we just going to get along with each other and it's going to be peace and ain't going to be no more racism. He's scared we going to get together and find out we all God's children. If we forget the government scared, they're going to find out we all God's children. If we find this out, what kind of moral control can you have? What can you tell God's son? What can you tell God's daughter? Like right now, I can't tell Biden's son anything. I can't tell that man nothing. Why? Because he's the